Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Ben, I have to ask, do you care that records of your emails and phone calls might be in an NSA server in Utah?
Yes, I do care about that. But as we may have talked casually over the years, I've long assumed that everything I say is being listened to and everything I write is being read. I used to think it was just the local folks, but I guess it's the feds as well, although they're probably less interested in the TIF scams than Mayor Rahm would be. So I do care, but I work from the assumption that it's all being listened to. And since I pretty much say whatever I have to say to you, really, what difference does it make?
And just in case they haven't been recording it, we'll make sure. Al-Qaeda, terrorism, bombing, what else?
Okay, wow. These kinds of jokes are usually what gets you arrested.
Bin Laden.
That's Dave's attempt at humor, FBI. That's not me. That's Dave doing the jokes, okay?
Let the record show in court.
Again, Dave said that. I did not say that. I didn't say any of the things that Dave just said.
But today we're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about your article that appeared in The Reader on June 13th, 2013, titled "The Madness Behind Mayor Emanuel's Methods."
Ah, speaking of things that would make Mayor Emanuel listen to what I have to say, yes.
And in this article, you write about the sort of playbook Mayor Emanuel uses when implementing a major initiative, such as closing schools or amending the parking meter agreement. The playbook essentially involves what I'll characterize as phony facts and false empathy. And as Tavis Smiley would say, my words, not yours.
I love Tavis, by the way. Yes, go on.
Maybe that'll help us get searched by the NSA.
Yeah.
Just a detail here regarding the parking meter deal amendment that the city council approved. You write that Mayor Emanuel began his argument for it by saying that the city can't undo the original contract in court because of a judge's ruling in a lawsuit. That suit was brought by the independent voters of Illinois, and it challenged the contract's validity. And the judge in the case ruled against the plaintiffs.
That's correct.
Tell us, when exactly did the mayor's claim come out? Did he say it, or did one of his minions say it?
In a general way, the mayor has been saying this all along. There's nothing we can do about it. I've looked at it every which way you can.
But he made a specific claim about the judge's ruling.
Right. Well, let me go further. Sorry.
Okay.
It's okay. Take it easy, Mr. Cheney. The bamboo is about to go under my fingernails.
And we've got the water here for waterboarding.
Yes. So in the most general way, Mayor Rahm has been saying that from the get-go. So it becomes one of those themes that gets endlessly repeated and then picked up by the mainstream media as though it's fact. In a very specific way, that was a response that was made by the mayor's chief lawyer,
Stephen Patton.
That's correct. Corporation counsel, the man from whom all the list of lawyers in Chicago, Rahm has chosen to represent the city. And he made that claim in his response, which is probably the most specific point-by-point response the city has made, to questions raised by the independent alderman of Chicago, God bless him, who challenged the validity of the entire contract and wanted the city not to bother with it. In fact, they voted against it. And that was a very specific claim that Patton made in response to a very specific question, which is, why haven't we joined this lawsuit? Or why haven't we filed our own lawsuit? So Mayor Rahm, this is part of my story, he deals with generalities. He's very skillful at avoiding any kind of specificity. He won't allow reporters to nail him down to anything. He'll just keep repeating the same vague generalities while rolling his eyes and scoffing at the questioner as though, why are you asking me the same question again? Well, you didn't answer it, so that would, you know, I'm looking for an answer.
It is kind of fun to watch sometimes.
It is fun to watch. You know, it's all so amusing as we allow our schools to go bankrupt.
We have to find the humor.
Hundreds of millions of dollars fly out to Dubai and Germany. It's hilarious. So absent any specificity from the mayor, who's our leader, we have to depend on specificity from his chief lawyer.
Regarding the mayor's policies in general, let's go from the specific to the general.
Mm-hmm.
We know who's driving the train, so to speak, but who's choosing the destinations? And you've looked at, for example, the mayor's appointments calendar, Any clues to the actual persons, organizations pulling the strings in the Emanuel administration?
You know, that is an excellent question, and it's the kind of conversation I generally have over beers with my Green Party comrades who are always chiding me for having voted for Barack Obama twice. I don't know the answer to your question. I do know that in the most general way, and since the mayor is going to be general, I'll be general right back with him. And more often than not, he will side with whichever corporate interest has a stake in the matter. When I say corporate, I'm talking about, I teasingly call them gazillionaires when I'm writing about it, but rich people. I cannot think of an instance, and maybe you can correct me with a better memory, of him actually standing up and defying the interests of a really rich person. The closest we have is the situation with the Cubs at Wrigley Field, where they wanted originally a subsidy to rebuild Wrigley Field, and eventually they dropped that. Now, I don't give Rahm credit for denying them that subsidy.
Because he was having a snit.
Well, this is just me supposing, because I'm not on the inside, but he was all set to give them the subsidy they wanted, and then it emerged in the New York Times, thank you, New York Times, that the father of the Cubs owners was thinking about participating in a large-scale campaign against Barack Obama's reelection, which would not have played well in Chicago. People in Chicago would have woken up from their slumber to ask, why are we giving money to some guy who hates Obama? Mayor Rahm was really mad, I think mainly because it was an embarrassment to him that he was about to give money to this gazillionaire who was going to lead a campaign against Obama. So that's really why I think he was upset. So he backed off, and then ultimately the Cubs on their own came to the conclusion that they'd be better off not asking the city for the money. So anyway, that's as close as we've come. In every other instance, TIF issues, parking meter disputes, tax breaks for CME.
That's Chicago Mercantile Exchange, for yes. Those of you keeping score at home.
He's always stood tall with the rich people.
So all the rich people have to do is not piss him off. Then it's fine.
Yes, that's why you see so many rich people just saying wonderful things about him, you know? I mean, oh, he's so smart and he's so good and this and that. They used to say the same things about Daley. It's so funny. They said the same things about Daley, and now it's like, oh, we thank God we have a mayor who really will stand up and do the things that have to be done. Well, if you felt that way, why'd you support the last mayor? So it's just sort of like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and $100 million will fly out the window to Dubai and Germany. And the dumb people of Chicago will be just feeding those parking meters and paying their property tax bills.
Is Dubai where they have the indoor ski slopes?
I don't know.
It's somewhere in the UAE, I believe.
Yes, yeah, somewhere.
I've seen photos of it.
Yes, I'm sure it's being paid for with our parking meter
fares. Yeah, maybe they have parking meters indoors there, too. Some of the city's most significant opposition to the mayor's policies comes from the Chicago Teachers Union. Recently, the CTU launched a voter registration drive to, as they say, quote, change the face of City Hall, literally, unquote. What do you think of this as an opposition tactic?
Great. I wish there were more people doing it. You get into a specific discussion of unions in this town or just a general discussion of anybody in this town. But until now, the philosophy, particularly in the days of Mayor Daley, was cut a deal. You can't get the mayor mad. He's not going anywhere. The Chicago Teachers Union had no choice but to change because Mayor Daley, not Mayor Rahm, but Mayor Daley began to change the terms of the arrangement when he went after them, as we've talked about endlessly, on both the budget and teacher cuts and the whole issue of tenure. He sort of violated the trust, if you will. And so the old guard of the teachers union was defeated by the teachers. So it wasn't like some space aliens came down to Chicago and took control, as some aldermen would have you believe. So the new guard is fighting for its survival. So they have no choice. As such, they are the first significant force to publicly oppose a mayor since Mayor Daley took charge in 1989. If you can think of any other, other than reader writers.
You said significant force.
Yes, thank you. Ouch. And my pals at the bar who vote for the Green Party, most people just go along. So as a result, I think the great contribution the teachers union have made to Chicago is that if nothing else, they have been a voice of opposition. And so when you have a significant voice of opposition, that forces the reporters, mainstream reporters, to go to that other side and get their worldview. And once you have two sides going at it, then that forces the media to examine some of the issues. That's why some of the best reporting right now, in my humble opinion, in Chicago is coming from the education beat writers for the Sun-Times, Catalyst, Linda Lutton at WBZ. I mean, they're challenging point blank the mayor's claims on education in a way that those claims were not challenged during the Daley years. I think a lot of that has to do with the emergence of Chicago Teachers Union. Now they're taking it one step further and getting involved in the political ring. The reigning attitude in Chicago has always been, well, we shouldn't get involved in politics because most likely we'll lose. And if we lose, they'll really be mad at us.
And screw us worse than we're currently being screwed.
What are they going to do to you people? Sell the parking meters to Dubai? Are they going to do that to you? How about closing 50 of your schools and having this secret slush fund called the TIFs that jacks up your property tax bills by $500 million a year? What else are they going to do to you? Chicagoans are just, Dave, a special breed of people.
Then let's move on to the end game of registering voters, which is voting for someone who can presumably beat Emanuel.
Yes.
That's to me like, well, yes, you can register voters, but, you know.
Well, yes. Now you're getting into one of my favorite subjects, the mindset of the Chicago voter, which generally runs this way. I am not going to vote for X because he or she cannot beat Mayor Daley or Mayor Rahm. That's such a prevailing view in this town. I don't really know how to respond. I mean, it's such an illogical attitude regarding voting. Number one, yes, if you don't vote for him or her, he or she cannot possibly win.
It's
so
like
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Future.
Yes. Secondly, what do you care? It's a secret ballot. What do you care if you vote against the winner? It's not like he's going to, I'm going to deny you garbage collection.
It might be in an NSA database.
Yes, okay. Well, in which case, I would not have had my garbage picked up for the last 20-odd years, people. I've never voted for Daley, and I didn't vote for Rahm. So Chicagoans are just not a very bright group of people, Dave. I don't know how to say it. I love them dearly. I've lived here among them since 1981. Sure, I am not originally a Chicagoan, so maybe I'm missing something.
You don't have that gene.
Yeah, I don't have that gene. But I just watch them. And I talk to so many of them. I listen to their tales. And so many times they come to me and they're, oh, you got to write about this. It's horrible. And the first question, well, who did you vote for last time? Well, who was running? Oh, there you go. Who was running? It's so exhausting to take a look and see who the candidates actually are. Well, he couldn't win.
You got to open a newspaper. It's hard work.
Yes. No, as I tell every teacher, did you vote for Miguel Devine? No. Well, now you're crying? You didn't vote for Miguel?
Who's sorry now?
Yeah, who's sorry now? You know, so it's easy to sort of make fun of the Chicago voter. But they have the solution in their hands and they choose not to use it. How about that? So really, folks, whose fault is this? I just wrote something about this on the blog yesterday, Dave. It's really on my mind where we're about to, I have nothing to do with it.
They,
the mayor and his cohorts at the state and the city council are teaming up to spend $55 million to buy up land on the south side, taking it from tax paying to tax exempt so that you, the taxpayers, lose on two fronts. Then he's going to give it to DePaul to put a basketball arena that nobody wants to go to because hardly everybody goes to their games anyway, and which they have enough money to build anywhere. And you are going to tolerate it? All those aldermen are going to vote for it, and you're going to keep electing them? And then those aldermen, when they're campaigning, will say, I voted against tax hikes. Well, what about the $55 million tax hike? So I look at it this way, Dave. People in Chicago are just so willfully ignorant about what's going on around them. Sometimes it's hard for me to champion their causes because they had a hand in it. And yet, I'm being benevolent. I will continue to champion their causes.
Bless you for that, Ben. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Listeners, we welcome your questions and suggestions. Look on Facebook and Twitter for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.